Welcome back to another episode of The Macrumor Show. This is episode 150-something. I have no idea. But today we're going to talk about something that actually just, well, by the time you listen to this, it'll be officially released. But while we're recording this, it literally just dropped today. And it is a new subscription plan from Apple, which is called Apple Care One. So, Hartley, you want to give us a little rundown? Since this was actually your article, so you are by far into the weeds. But from what I can gather, this seems like a pretty good idea for those who want to get coverage on multiple products and don't want to spend, like, I don't know, $500 up front for each one, depending on what it is that you're trying to get covered.
So in the same way that Apple One bundles together Apple's subscription services, Apple Care One bundles together Apple Care for your individual devices. The differences between them being that with Apple One, you just get the choice of the different plans, and that determines how many services you get access to, and whether you go on a family plan and how many people you can add to it. But with Apple Care One, it is just three devices, and you can pick any three that you have that you add to the plan, and then that is fully covered by what would have been Apple Care Plus. And in case you have more devices than that that you want to add to the plan, you can add those for an additional fee. So it's a pretty simple system, but should make things way easier for those users that always buy Apple Care on multiple devices.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just thinking about myself here, like, for all the devices that I have, this would be great. We actually stopped buying Apple Care on some of these because we do go through them quite frequently. And then just recently, I took my phone out of my pocket and did one of these, like, as I took it up, threw it up into the air for no reason whatsoever. It was an accident, and it completely smashed the phone. And so I had to get that repaired, which was nice. So this is kind of a good, you know, good time for this. But I do have a couple of questions. This includes theft and loss for iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. There was a while there where, you know, Apple Care kind of had separate packages where it was just standard Apple Care, and then there was, like, damage, and then there was, like, the theft and loss. Is this cover accidental damage as well, or is this going to be something that just repairs that need to happen that might be out of warranty?
So they all cover accidental damage, okay, and it covers theft and loss as well. But okay, what you just alluded to there with iPad and Apple Watch is actually a really big change, because until now, you could only get theft and loss on the iPhone, which is probably the device it makes the most sense on. But now it is expanding to these other devices. And separately to Apple Care One, you can also now buy a plan, an Apple Care plan for the iPad and Apple Watch that includes theft and loss. So it's pretty simple. If you're not interested in Apple Care One, you can just go for Apple Care Plus or Apple Care Plus with theft and loss. And that is now available across the iPhone, the iPad, and the Apple Watch. Eventually, it will be nice to see that expand to the Mac too, and some more high-value items as well that maybe will get stolen.
Yeah. A couple of things here that are also really interesting, and I'm surprised Apple's doing this. So you can move freely the devices that you have in and out of the plan at any time, which is interesting. But more interesting is that users can add products that are already up to 4 years old that aren't covered, right?
That's a huge expansion.
As long as they're
expansion.
In good condition. Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. But,
because right now, you have to get Apple Care within 60 days of purchasing your device. So we're going from 60 days to 4 years. So I think that's huge. And it really is quite a modular system in the way that you can just add and remove from it. And they're also adding some more perks here if you do a trade-in. Now, I don't typically trade in my devices. When I get rid of them, I sell them. And I tend to get more by doing that than going for trade-in. But there is a massive convenience factor to trading in. If you trade in with Apple Care One, that device you trade in will automatically be removed from the AppleCare One plan. And the new device that you buy, say it's for an iPhone, will automatically be added. So it just makes the process way more seamless.
So the one thing that I have a question on is whether or not, like, do you have to take every device in when you need to get it checked out if you're adding something, you know, old, to make sure it's in good condition? Or is there some sort of like online process, you know, pictures or something?
I don't think we know just yet. Yeah. But I imagine the way that it will work is if you're within the 60-day period, then you can just add it in the way that you have done historically by going to settings and tapping AppleCare. But if you're beyond the 60 days, you probably will have to go to an Apple store so that they can check out the device, see what its condition is like, and then they will add it to the plan for you. I imagine there's got to be a level of inspection, especially if you're trying to add a phone that's 4 years old.
Yeah, they got to make sure it's in good working order and not falling apart, because as soon as you add it, they're and then it breaks within a week, they're going to be losing out on some money. But yeah, I mean, this is a good plan for people who are always buying AppleCare, and you know, now you can kind of just bundle things together, and you don't have to kind of worry about some devices. Maybe you're going to say, you know, oh, I don't need it for my watch right now, or you know, you can just kind of move things in and out if you need to. Say you get something a little bit more expensive, maybe get an Apple Vision Pro. I would absolutely toss that on there. Is there a restriction of devices too? I want to make sure before I said that, because I didn't see that in here. But
no, I believe it's any Apple device that you can otherwise get AppleCare Plus on. And we should also talk pricing. So it's available for $20 a month. And then if you want to add more than three devices, it is $6 for each additional device. And I think this poses an interesting question, where this is my biggest criticism of this, because by all means, in the way we've discussed it, it's great for convenience. And if you normally buy AppleCare across a few devices, that's great. But there is a little bit of a problem with it, as far as I can see, which is that some devices are really inexpensive to buy AppleCare on. So for example, if I had an Apple Watch SE, I had some AirPods, and I have a HomePod, and those are my three devices, it would be cheaper for me to just buy AppleCare individually for each of those devices. And it will basically never be worth adding AirPods to it, because AppleCare for standard AirPods, not AirPods Max, that is less than the $6 a month fee to add a device. So I don't know why there are not two tiers of additional devices here.
Like a HomePod Mini.
Yeah. HomePod Mini is, I think it's $50 to add AppleCare to that annually. It might even be less than that. It might even be $30. It's not a lot of money to add because it's an inexpensive device. So there's no way that it's going to be worth you adding $6 a month. And yes, it's nice to have it all on the system and see it all listed there and be billed once for it. But it does seem odd that low-cost devices here will actually be cheaper to just buy AppleCare for individually.
They aren't removing the individual plans though, right? So it doesn't...
No, so you can go ahead and do that, but I don't know why they're not saying, well, if it's a device like the HomePod Mini, like AirPods or AirPods Pro or Apple Watch, that is an extra $3 a month. And then if it's anything else, it's an extra $6.
Yeah. Or like you said, if maybe you don't care about, that's a good idea. Just making it pretty inexpensive would be the right idea. Tier it up, $6 extra for that, or, you know, making it one of the main slots for $19.99 seems a little foolish. But hopefully the people that are doing this are just doing like iPhone, iPad, MacBook, or something, all the expensive stuff that you really don't want to get stolen or break, or, you know, could come out of warranty, and then maybe something dies, you know, inside your MacBook, and unfortunately it's not going to get covered. You know, that could be huge. Even with just the iPhone that I broke on my own, getting that back glass repaired from Apple was quoted at over $700, which is absolutely insane. because I didn't have any warranty on it. And then I was able to get it fixed for much, much cheaper. Shout out to Mentor iPhone Repair. If you're in Mentor, Ohio, for some reason, and you're listening to this and you need to get your iPhone fixed, I'll give you the free promo for that. There you go. You can go get it fixed there. They do an excellent job. But yeah, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. So it's good to see that this is something that's offered. But like you said, in some other ways, it's not going to make sense for you to do that with your AirPods. Although AirPods seem to be the biggest thing that people ask me about all the time that seem to break constantly and are usually past that window.
I agree. And I actually feel that for me now, AppleCare is essential on any AirPods. I have had some bad experiences with all three different varieties of AirPods. I have had AppleCare on none of them, and I sorely wish that I had added that at the point of purchase. And I can guarantee that when the AirPods Pro 3 arrive, I will be adding AppleCare to that. When I get the AirPods Max 2, I will be adding AppleCare to that. I think it is probably, of all Apple devices, probably the most essential one to get AppleCare on. I also think that as much as it can be not very good value, if you're doing it with low-cost devices, if you're doing this with high-cost devices, the saving is massive. So if you're doing this with a Vision Pro, a 16-inch MacBook Pro that's spec'd up, and maybe, I don't know, a 13-inch iPad Pro with the nanotexture display and everything else, the saving will be huge. I mean, I actually think that AppleCare for the Vision Pro might even be work out to $20 a month anyway. It's in that ballpark. So with AppleCare One now, you can just add two other devices. So it definitely depends on what you want to add. Apple says that you can save at least $11, or up to $11, I should say, depending on the devices that you add. It's just one of the examples that they give. But obviously, the saving could be way bigger. I mean, if you want to put three different Vision Pros for some reason on there, you're going to be saving a lot of money. But it really depends on the devices that you personally feel require AppleCare. I actually am a bit of a recent convert to AppleCare. Historically, I've never really gone for it, but
It's been, you know, like I just said, we stopped buying AppleCare on a lot of this stuff and, you know, or their review units. So I don't really usually worry about that. Did they get rid of the like one-time larger fee? Is it all just monthly now? Because I'm looking at the AppleCare website and I don't see it. Because I was going to say, at what point do you just not?
I think it depends at the point of purchase. You can buy, I think it's about 2 years upfront. In general, it can be better to pay for it monthly. For example, with the iPhone, if you take out a 2-year plan on that, you better be planning to keep that iPhone for 2 years. If you're like me and you're only planning to keep it for a year, then you need to have a monthly plan. Otherwise, you're going to pay for something that you won't have used.
True. Okay. I'm just curious.
I also think the monthly plans continue rolling on past the 2-year point, whereas if you get to the 2-year point, you can't renew. I don't actually know that for sure, but I think there's something like that about why the monthly plan is more advantageous.
That's what I'm wondering too. So, you know, this is all new for us here on this whole plan and then going back on some of these details. So just bear with us. But yeah, looking at the iPhone, it's $99 a year or $9.99 a month, a little bit cheaper to do it per year, but it says until canceled. So I'm guessing it just is good to go until canceled. There's got to be a cutoff point at some point. Like if you're keeping your phone for 8 years, I don't think they'll just be able to help you out if you break it.
Well, eventually it'll become a vintage product and then it will become an obsolete product and Apple won't offer repair for it anymore.
Exactly. But for most normal humans that are not thinking like that. I mean, I guess that makes sense. It's $99 a year. So $9.99 a month for an iPhone. Let's just say you got an iPhone, you got a Mac. That's that's really not that bad either. It's only $349 a month. And then you've got an iPad, which is five. Why is an iPad more than a Mac? Okay.
I think it depends which ones you buy.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't kind of make it seem like that on the website, but I'm guessing it's tiered and maybe it starts. Yeah, it does say from.
They could do with a little calculator on there to
they could do with a little more transparency on here. Yeah, this website for AppleCare is a little like you got to. It doesn't say it says starting on one side or from $349, which means it's going to be more the more you go, which makes sense, but. Yeah, I mean, by the time you put all these together, you're going to be over that $20. So you definitely will be saving some money, especially if you are doing Vision Pro. Vision Pro is $24.99 a month. So it's more than what you said, which is absurd. Yeah.
And that's a product you probably do want AppleCare for.
For sure. Unlimited repairs, accidental drops, battery replacement, no extra charge, which, you know, that's probably not as hard. But yeah. I can understand why people would want this for sure.
I think it's a good product.
What people think. Yeah.
I think that where I would really like to see things go eventually with subscription plans like this is we get an actual device subscription.
That's what I thought this was at first when it first got announced. Yeah. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. That's pretty good.
So you should be able to, pick three Apple devices, your iPhone, your iPad, and your Mac, and you want those on this plan, you just pay monthly, and then every year, or maybe every year for an iPhone, every 2 years for an iPad, and every 3 years for a Mac, whatever it would be, you can just take that into an Apple store and just walk out with a new one and keep paying. That would be a very simple way of going about things. And I would like to eventually see Apple One, Apple Care One, and then a device subscription plan merged together. And I would like it if you could actually specify what it was that you wanted to add. So say with Apple One, if you don't use Apple Arcade, you can remove that. But that maybe lowers the overall price. Or I think the way that they've done it with Apple Care One works quite well, where you pick three. So maybe with Apple One, you can pick four services, but if you want to add an additional service, then it's however many dollars a month.
So there is something that kind of exists like what you just said. So for the general public, obviously the iPhone upgrade program is one where you would be leasing the phone and you just trade it back into Apple and get a new one every year. But for Macs and other products, I don't believe anything like that exists, except for if you're in the business program, the Apple business, which honestly, I don't really know what the qualifications are. I've been a part of that for a while and there really hasn't been any. I just said, yeah, it's for business. And then it just goes to your business account. I really don't know what they're looking into on that. You can finance and base, or not finance, but you can lease products as a business. So if you have an Apple business account, you didn't know this, you can get Macs. You can get iPhones, you can get Apple Watches, Apple TVs, and iPads. And basically, after a year or so or whatever, every 2 years, you can just trade it in and they'll give you another one. And you just keep paying monthly for it. So yeah, it would be nice to see that being offered, you know, kind of to the general public and something that's more advertised. But you can technically do that right now. Yeah, if you do that, I would love to hear from you in the comments too, like how that's working out for your business. But imagine if you're a startup and you just don't have the money to pay for thousands and thousands of dollars worth of Macs, but you can just go in and pay monthly for a little bit. Eventually, you can purchase those too, I believe. So it's kind of like a little lease to purchase, which is kind of nice.
I think that eventually this is the way that things will go because consumers are so in the habit of upgrading their devices. I mean, even with something like the Vision Pro, how many Vision Pro first generation users are going to buy the next version? Probably most of them, if you're currently a Vision Pro user and you're enthused by that device and that ecosystem, you will want the new one. So It seems like it would make sense. Actually, probably not so much for the Vision Pro because it doesn't have a clear cycle of upgrades. But for things like the Mac, where we know that pretty much every year we're getting a refresh of some kind. The iPhone, we get a refresh every year. The Apple Watch, we get a refresh every year. These devices would make sense to roll into a single subscription. And it would make things easy. Like if you knew that you've got $200 coming out a month, that covers your devices, it covers your all your individual Apple subscription services, and it covers AppleCare, you don't really have to think about anything. Possibly it would work out more expensive, but I actually don't know that it would. I mean, Apple One works out an enormous amount cheaper. It does depend on how many services you use, but Apple Music's quite expensive. So if you go for Apple Music, Apple TV, and maybe one other service, you've basically paid for it. It would be really nice to see Apple rewarding that investment in its ecosystem with devices as well. So if you have an iPhone, an iPad, and a Mac, maybe the cost of adding an Apple Watch makes it significantly less than it would otherwise have been. I think it's a good way to incentivize customers. And then Apple knows it's got that subscription revenue coming in every month. Tim Cook loves a subscription. So
it seems like it's the most consistently high earning yielding part of their business these days. So even though Apple TV Plus loses $1 billion a year, everything else makes up for it. So which I still don't know how. I don't get it.
So what devices would you say in general are worth getting Apple Care on? And which ones would you say are probably not?
Your phone for sure. I don't know that I've ever needed to get my Mac repaired, but I don't know that there's, you know, a lot of people out there that I guess I don't carry. I mean, I carry a laptop. I've never had to get my Mac repaired in the last 5+ years, 10 years. I have no idea when the last time, maybe college, that one night was a pretty rough night, had to get it fixed. Honestly, everything else, it's been pretty steady, or by that point I'm upgrading to something else, especially with a desktop. Like, when was the last time, you know, I think when the Mac Pro came out with the Pro Display XDR, we got Apple Care on that because it was just so expensive. But AirPods, I guess, because again, those are things that are constantly dying out. And then maybe your watch. How many people break their watch? I've never broken a watch, but I can see that happening.
I don't know that it's just about breaking, though. I think with the Apple Watch, it depends on how long you're planning to keep it. I've got an Apple Watch Series 8, and that is about to dip below 80% battery capacity. Yeah. So if I had Apple Care on that Apple Watch, if I kept it for a few more months, I would be eligible for a battery replacement. But I don't have Apple Care on it, so I'm not eligible.
Right.
So
it's hard for me to find that fine line, Hartley, like you're saying. You know, it depends on like how long are you going to keep it for? Because most people don't upgrade their Apple Watch that often. But also it's rather inexpensive compared to other things to upgrade if you wanted to. And so it doesn't always make sense. So it's hard. It's like it's got to be one of those things where people upgrade their phones probably 1 to 2 years, but you are also using them and it's in your hands a lot. So like the opportunities for something to go wrong, whether it be your fault or not, is a lot greater on a device that you're using daily and for a long period of time. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. What would you put Apple Care on?
I think that it depends. The only devices I would say it is essential for are AirPods. After my experiences with, in particular, the AirPods Pro and the AirPods Max in the last few years, I really wish I had it on both of those. In the case of the AirPods Max, the canopy collapsed on mine really early. The case right now is literally falling to pieces. All the silicon's coming apart. I don't even think it's going to last another year. It's literally falling apart. Even just things like the ear cups are falling to pieces now as well. These were launch day AirPods Max. And here we are, 5 years later nearly, and they're really struggling. And I would have really appreciated it if I could have got a repair for some of these issues. And my AirPods Pro, they buzz, they rattle. They're basically unusable at this point. And I would have loved to have got them replaced. And considering it's pretty cheap to add that to AirPods Pro, I think that's essential. The same goes for the standard AirPods. The iPhone, I think it depends on whether you use a case that is actually protective. If you use a decent protective case, then probably not. And what I will say is, before I got my iPhone 16 Pro, I always had a case. And I never broke the glass. I never really caused any substantial damage to the phone at all. This year, I've had no case. And it is looking really beaten up. And there have been many times when I have turned the thing over and thought, is the glass going to be broken? And thankfully, it hasn't been. But it is in a really poor state now as a result of not being in a case. So if you want to go without a case or have a very thin case, and you don't want to have a screen protector, all of these kinds of things, then maybe you should consider it. But if you're going to put a case on there anyway, which most people do, you probably don't. It also depends to some extent on how long you intend to keep it. And that brings me to the Apple Watch, which, like I say, if you're going to buy the Apple Watch Ultra 3 this year and you're going to plan to keep it for 3 or 4 years, absolutely, I would take out Apple Care on that. But if you're only intending to keep it for 2 years or less, then probably not. I mean, these things are very durable. The battery replacement, to me, is the main thing that you may want to cover. And I agree with you about the Mac. I've never needed a Mac repair. I've had a lot of Macs, and I have never once needed anything with it, to the point where if I had had Apple Care for every Mac I've ever had, and I now needed a repair, that repair would cost less than all of the Apple Care that I would have bought for previous Macs. So I think I'm okay if I get one at this point that needs a repair.
Of course, now that you said that, you're going to break your Mac very soon.
Yeah.
You're going to knock it off the table or something. But real quick, I do want to touch on two more things, but they're all kind of related. Just real quick, we'll do a deeper dive into CarPlay, but there has been some news lately on just like manufacturers being kind of lame, in my opinion, and backing out of CarPlay Ultra. What are your thoughts on this? Did you see this coming? Is this something that it can be, you know, fixed by Apple somehow? I have no idea why this is happening again. But, you know, what was the companies here? Mercedes, Audi, Volvo, Polestar, and was it Renault? Is that how you say it? Or am I going to get made fun of for not saying it correctly?
It's Renault.
Renault. So, we don't have that around here, do we? I've never heard of that before. So.
No, it's a French car brand.
Okay, well, my apologies to everyone. Not that much of a car guy, but yeah, Renault. They all backed out. So you know what? I'm going to call you Renault for being lame and backing out, okay? Are you mad about this? I'm kind of mad about this because I'm going to be hitting that point next year where I'm going to be looking for another car and I have an idea. But now that CarPlay Ultra came out, I was kind of hoping that one of these cars would be great. There's less options now.
And we've discussed many times about how automakers are quite reluctant to hand over that screen real estate in their vehicles, and they want to have this control over infotainment. Obviously, most infamously, with GM actually removing CarPlay entirely in favor of its own system. But it doesn't really surprise me for that reason. And I think that it was clearly Apple expected automakers to really want to embrace CarPlay Ultra. That's why they announced it as early as they did. And that's why even now it's only available in one vehicle from one manufacturer. And that is a $300,000 vehicle. And there is no sign of it.
I guess I got to get one.
I mean, Apple did say when they announced it coming to the Aston Martin that it would be coming to Kia and a couple of other brands in the near future, I think. It was some terminology like that. So we'll need to wait and see. But I don't know. I think CarPlay in iOS 26 has also changed my perspective on CarPlay Ultra, because when we thought about CarPlay Ultra a few years ago, the thing that made it so cool was having widgets and having this better use of large displays. But iOS 26 does that. You get widgets in CarPlay, and it scales to displays way better. And you even get multi-touch now. So previously, if you had a display that supported it, you still could only use one finger to move around the map. You couldn't pinch and zoom. Whereas now in iOS 26, if your vehicle supports multi-touch, you actually can. So CarPlay's got a huge amount better. There's even little things like if you receive a call, it doesn't take up the full screen. It drops down like a little banner, just like it does on an iPhone when it's in use. So am I that disappointed that I probably won't get CarPlay Ultra on my next vehicle in a way that I sort of hoped I would when this was announced alongside iOS 17? Not really. All that makes CarPlay Ultra distinctive now is that you don't have to exit CarPlay for any reason. You don't have to, if you want to turn on the heated seats through the infotainment system, you can do that in CarPlay. Whereas you can't do that, you can do that in CarPlay Ultra. You can't do that in the standard version of CarPlay. But do I really care about that? Not really. I mean, as long as I can get my maps and my messages app and whatever else it may be.
I still think there's a use case for it because I don't want to ever go into the car manufacturer's software. It's just not good. And even the ones that are good, it's just Google. So like, you know, GM, you're talking this game like you've invented something crazy. You're just using Google's software. You're not doing anything yourself.
For Volvo. It's the same for Polestar.
Yeah, don't act like you're better than everyone else. You didn't do anything special with yours. Your interfaces were garbage beforehand, and you needed someone else to do it. You just struck a deal better with Google somehow. So, like, okay, whatever. Way to alienate half the people out there that want CarPlay seems like a good business decision. I'm not salty or anything, but yeah. I don't know. Also, I do want to talk about one last thing that was kind of discovered this past week. AirPlay? That was not mentioned, but apparently you can do AirPlay while parked.
Yes. So this means that now you can cast video to your the screen in your car, which I think is really useful, especially with vehicles getting increasingly large displays. I mean, certainly even years ago in a Tesla, it was very cool to be able to go on YouTube and watch something when you were parked. The ability to do that and just cast it from your iPhone is pretty much just as good. And that isn't even CarPlay Ultra. That's just standard CarPlay. So again, I don't feel I'm really missing out. And I sort of think this all kind of should be the same thing. Like if a manufacturer wants to embrace a more integrated CarPlay experience, then great. But if they don't, then as long as they support some kind of CarPlay, I mean, I think I'll be pretty happy. I mean, I would never buy something like a GM vehicle because of this. But I mean, anything else like BMW, for example, never agreed to integrate CarPlay Ultra. They were never on that list. But they support standard CarPlay really well. They were one of the first manufacturers to support wireless CarPlay. They show Apple Maps in the heads-up display and in the instrument cluster. And they overlay their own gauges on top of Apple Maps. They've been doing that for years, and it works really well. So I'm not too worried now. I mean, I wish every manufacturer would adopt CarPlay Ultra, but I just think maybe that boat has sailed.
But in the flip side, everything you just mentioned is a strong case for why won't they offer both, you know? What's the big deal? I
think there's probably a lot of reasons for it. I think that manufacturers feel like those screens are part of the experience that they're offering. So particularly with luxury brands like Mercedes, Mercedes thinks, well, we design what the leather is like on the seats. We design the stitching. We design the shape of the steering wheel. We design every element of this space. So yeah. The screen is a vital part of that. And if we give that to another company, we lose the ability to be able to change that. And also, if Apple then wants to make changes to CarPlay Ultra, like let's say they say, okay, CarPlay Ultra isn't supported on iPhones that are more than 2 years old, or they say, actually now you can't have custom branding, but it's in every Mercedes that's come out in the past 5 years. Mercedes has nothing they can do. I imagine that's one reason. And the other reason is, what about Android users? So in the car dealership, when you go in there and they're telling you that they've got this new vehicle that supports CarPlay Ultra, if you don't use CarPlay Ultra, then you're going to have to kind of think, well, okay, has it got Android Auto, or can I just use the standard infotainment system? And why should a car manufacturer invest in supporting CarPlay Ultra if they've still got to develop those other systems?
I guess what I need to know is, how big of a support and commitment is it from the manufacturer, and how much of the legwork is being done by Apple? Because if it's just a few things that they need to support, and it's not much more than what they're already doing with CarPlay, just offer the ability to tap into those things and then Apple takes care of the rest, then nothing changes. Just keep making your bad software and let the user opt in to either one. And if they don't want it, which not everyone does like CarPlay, then who cares? What is the point? There's got to be some more of a commitment here. Otherwise, you know, then
I think the development burden of CarPlay Ultra is considerably higher, because it supports all these custom functions, even for things like tire pressure and like electric vehicle charging. And there's all these different things it supports. That all has to be hooked into and work reliably and communicate with your iPhone wirelessly in the car. That is far more invasive than just, okay, connect to the phone and then just basically just play whatever is on the phone on this display in this little wrapper. So I can understand that. I also can understand why. I don't think the developers and the people that design car software in general are very good. And I think that car manufacturers are quite reluctant to devote resources to those departments. And so if those departments already are trying to make these substandard infotainment systems work across all of these different vehicles, all these different model years, and keep iterating on it and add features and issue patches for it. But at the same time, they've got to support this weird proprietary CarPlay Ultra thing. They're just not that interested in doing it, which is a shame. But like, what's in it for them other than being able to say that they support it? And the average person doesn't know the difference between CarPlay and CarPlay Ultra. They just know they want CarPlay. And so it's okay for Aston Martin, this luxury brand that's selling this $300,000 vehicle, to get the marketing out of saying that they're first. But what is in it for the majority of other car brands right now?
Sure, but if they're not given the opportunity to allow people to figure out what CarPlay Ultra is, because they're not available on any normal cars that any normal people can buy, then how are we ever supposed to find out how is it supposed to be out in the public then? Someone's got to do it. And then if it really is good, it'll eventually catch fire, just like standard CarPlay did. And, you know, I don't know. I just feel like Android Auto and Google Automotive, or whatever they call it, they are two different things, but it's the same company who somehow has gotten a hold of these car manufacturers and have enticed them enough to be like, oh, just put all of our stuff in there. Just use all of our stuff instead. It just seems weird. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I think that the difference is that with Google, they kind of just offered those systems to manufacturers like Volvo just out of the box and said, don't worry, we'll just do it for you. CarPlay Ultra isn't like that. CarPlay Ultra is this thing that these developers have to hook into with very specific functions and have very strict guidelines. So for example, Aston Martin can do it because Apple has this big list of the displays have to be this size, they have to be this quality, any elements on the screen have to be this specific size and this specific color. And automakers look at this and think, but why should we do that? Why is Apple dictating what kind of screens we have to have in our vehicle? We want to get the screens where we want to get them, not have Apple tell us where to do that.
So then by this point, it just makes it seem like CarPlay Ultra was announced. Seems like a good idea. it's going to fail. And then Apple can just be like, well, it wasn't our fault. No one took on. And that's why we're seeing all of these features that you just said. Oh, well, I mean, I'm fine with not getting CarPlay Ultra because now we're getting widgets and we're getting this design and some of these things are being added in that just kind of make up for it. So why do I need it at this point? I don't know. It's not like we were paying extra for it. So I kind of feel like we're being robbed of a better experience for those who want it.
I don't think that it's going to go away. I think that, in fact, you're probably more likely to see it with luxury brands that can meet those specifications. And you will see it on some lower end vehicles like Kia as well. But I don't think you're going to see this across every vehicle. And I think in particular, if you're going for like a mid-level luxury brand, like a BMW or a Mercedes, you are never going to get CarPlay Ultra in that. It will be this thing that is offered on 50% of vehicles that offer Apple CarPlay. And maybe eventually if it gets really popular, maybe they will. But I think that Apple will have to make it a more attractive proposition for automakers by relaxing those requirements and actually behaving a bit more like Google and saying, well, we'll just provide this system out the box. They've obviously not made it compelling enough.
The one thing that's funny to me is GM said that they weren't going to use CarPlay anymore, but they keep putting it in cars and they keep adding features like being able to use it with maps in your instrument cluster and heads up display. And it's like, what? This came in after they said, well, we're not supporting CarPlay anymore for our new cars moving forward. And it's like, why do you keep adding fun things to it that people want? What are they doing? I don't understand.
I mean, that they've gone in a completely different direction. Like some car brands, like BMW, were very clear from the beginning that they were not going to adopt CarPlay Ultra, but they still offer CarPlay on everything.
Sure.
I mean, Mercedes too. So yeah, I think GM is just something else.
Well, for the longest time, BMW software was horrible. So I think they can't get rid of, you know, not having CarPlay at least offered, just the standard one. I think people would revolt. Yeah, I don't know. Well, would love to hear from everyone in the comments what you guys think. I don't know. I just see CarPlay Ultra and I want it. So I want more options out there. I want more options out there, but I don't know if it's going to happen. Right now, by the time next year hits, maybe it'll be in the Kia, Hyundai, Genesis line. But who knows? Yeah, let us know in the comments about both of our main topics, and we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.